Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. We'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Hi, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. But if we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now and get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. Call now, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. 866-779-RISK.
Bulwark Capital Management's an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
Well, a happy new year and welcome back. And you'll have to forgive me, I sound a little bit muddled today. One of those petri dishes with legs that I call children brought me home a wonderful little gift here. I've never been sick as much in my life as I have since we had three kids. One in school, one in that goes to a preschool type thing 3 days a week, and then the other one is a three-year-old, and the mix of that, oh, we should make this a pharmaceutical show. We'd pitch like NyQuil and Dimetapp and all that kind of, I could talk about that probably more than I could talk about stocks. But anyway, welcome back, and excited to be here. Have a great show for you today. Obviously, plenty to talk about. And as always, we start with a market update. I'm just going to summarize it by saying everything's up. Everything is up. I'm hard pressed to find anything. Even GE, and I don't know if you guys are watching this closely, but what a disaster. Talk about a dumpster fire. Jeff Immelt, the CEO there, got caught in a scandal. He, not only was he taking his corporate jet around everywhere, but he was flying an extra corporate jet around just in case he had problems with his jet. And God knows he couldn't be late to a meeting, right? Because he's this godlike CEO figure. One of the things I've learned is when you see a guy making calls like that that's running a company, you know it's not the only exception, right? You know that there are a lot of cash flagrant type things that he's doing. And sure enough, GE's bared that out. But even my point being, like, I digress, even GE is up. Even GE's been rallying sharply. And you know, it goes into what we've been talking about, which is, does this change our picture? Does this change the fact that we think stocks are overvalued and we think caution is warranted? Not at all, right? They're getting more expensive. It's for a guy that's dedicated so much of his life to this and who's been a student of markets in one way or another pretty much my entire life. It's incredible. It really is. We'll take it. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, holy smokes, you look at oil, we're back over 60. Gold busted through 1,300. Dow is making seemingly record highs every single day. As a matter of fact, last year, 2017, we had 71 closing highs on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That, my friends, is a record. So every single week, if you logged on to the show or you listen to the show on the radio, every single week I'd come on and say, wow, record highs, record. I wasn't making it up. 71 closing record highs in the year 2017. never been done before. And we've got all these never been done before. So the other one we're watching too is the market has gone, oh man, I've got too much data floating around my head, so don't hold me to this, but the market has gone something like, we're at almost a year and a half, approaching the 70-week mark or something like that, without so much as a 3% correction. Just unbelievable. Talk about a rocket ship higher. The interesting thing to me is that as it goes higher, I watch the excitement build and build and build. And, you know, we all know, if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you're probably a little bit more jaded than most. Even though I'm a really optimistic person. But we all know that the dynamic of markets flip, right? People get more excited as they go higher. And truthfully, every point we go higher, we're closer to the next drawdown, which isn't catastrophic. Doesn't mean that we're trying to avoid any losses, but it's just, it's one of the interesting things that work with that whole relationship of fear and greed. Now to the positive side, let's talk about what's going on. We see continued strength. Now, I think that we need to take a look at what strength means, right? When we're coming from the slowest 10 years of growth in United States history, and we see an uptick in growth, look, let's not pop the confetti and the champagne bottles because we're growing at 2.5%, guys. That's still a good 30% below our long-term trend line, 25% anyway. Okay, and that's our average. We're not talking about some booming growth, okay? But it is better. I think the biggest thing you're seeing is inflation really pick up, which, you know, that's what central bankers have been looking for the last 10 years. And this is one of the reasons, and I don't want to rob, I always jump ahead. I don't want to rob from one of the next segments that we're going to talk about. Because one of the things I want to talk about coming up in our next few segments is the difference between being a money manager and a prognosticator, all right? And they're very different things. And want to point out the fact that you don't have to be one or the other. People get caught in this bifurcated or this split type of personality, you know, like everything is ones and zeros, that you've either got to be short the market or a bear, or you got to be a bull and be all in. And I think that's a really scary trap, right? Because the truth can lie somewhere in the middle. And we've showed it with our clients over the last year. Just because stocks are expensive doesn't mean you sell everything off. We've talked over and over about how Warren Buffett is sitting on the biggest pile of cash in history. Yet he isn't liquidating his stock holdings. Right? Because truthfully, we can look at things, we can sit there and go, okay, we're almost 9 years into the market. It's the longest, you know, coming up on being the longest bull market in U.S. history. Record high valuations, blah, blah. What does that mean? It means we should be cautious, but we're not trying to time markets. But we'll get into that later. The difference between being a prognosticator and an actual money manager. And I think it's something everybody needs to grab a hold on. Because let's also pull back from a second. Go back to a 30,000 foot view and go, why are we here? Why are you probably listening to this show? Why do we talk about the things that we do? Because our job as a fiduciary for our clients is, regardless of what happens in the markets, you still need to be ready for retirement, right? We got to build a retirement plan that works for you regardless of what happens. So that means we need a retirement plan that's going up when the market's going up and we're making gains and we're participating. But it also means that if something really bad happens, we have a black swan event or a tail event, as the analytical types call it. And we have one of those events, you also can't have your whole retirement plan go down the drain. And that's what I see so much right now in the world of asset management, is that you're either at one extreme or the other. You either got a portfolio that can't grow, or you got a portfolio that's going to get decimated in the next, you know, in the next downturn. And I do say next, because there will be one, right? Donald Trump can't stop markets from going down. He may try. The Fed, well, I guess the Fed has kind of stopped markets from going down for the time being. But my point is just, you know, there's this like machismo talk. Are you short, or who's right, or who's wrong, or who's long the market? And if you're short, or if you think that things are bad out there, you're not making money, and it's who's right and all this chest pumping. And I sit there and I go, whoa, 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 wait a second. Why are we here? Right? We're here to accomplish retirement goals. We're very rarely going to be right all the time. And we should be very rarely wrong all the time. And let's get back to the goal. What is the goal? To have the best performing portfolio overall? Now, we will sometimes, but that's not the goal. The goal is to get you to where you need to be to retire the way you want to. It's not about who's right or who's wrong. It's about the investment plan and the roadmap being right no matter what happens. That's really where we should be looking, right? And when we look at that, you know, one of the things I tell people all the time, I think really smart people know this inherently. When they get caught between two, you know, loud, you know, proponents of opposite ends of the scale, you know, this guy saying this is right, and the other guy goes, no, that's wrong, this is right over here. What do we know inherently as fairly intelligent human beings and adults? Then usually the truth's somewhere in the middle. Same's true for markets, right? Do we need to be careful? Absolutely. You got record high valuations. Do we need to be running scared and all sitting in cash and Chicken Little? No. Right? The truth lies somewhere in the middle. So anyway, to wrap that up, you know, if you own anything, you've done well over the last couple months. And it really is remarkable. Like I've said for the last year, and I hate to be so repetitive, but just even if you're not huge into finance or whatever, sit back and take a look because you're watching crazy things happen. I mean, market's just going ballistic. It's really remarkable. So anyway, we'll get to the rest of it. If you're looking for more specifics, like I said, everything's up. It's kind of a boring market update, but continues to go absolutely nuts. The alternative coin market, Bitcoin, Ethereum, all that kind of stuff going absolutely nuts. It's a crazy world we're living in. So anyway, stick around. We got a great show coming up. The next segment, we're talking about the difference between prognosticators and actual money managers. And I think this is important. Even if you're not going to have us manage your money, you're not going to have somebody else do it. Maybe you'll do it on your own. It's something you should still think about. Because remember, we don't want to be prognosticators. Even if we're right, it doesn't pay, right? What we want to be is money managers. We want to be right no matter what happens. We want to have a temperate approach. Okay, so I think everybody can benefit from that. The other thing we're going to do, and this is from a recommendation for a listen from a listener, actually a request, and that listener actually became a client, my friend David in Enumclaw. Hopefully he's listening. We're going to start a segment every week. We're going to do investing basics. He said to me, he goes, you know what, Zach, I love the stuff you talk about. It's really entertaining. But he goes, you know, a lot of times I like it because it's over my head and it's kind of complex issues, but it'd be really cool to hear you just break down a basic investing principle every single week. So we're going to start that this week. I thought it was a great idea. So that'll be coming up. We're also going to have a special guest in the studio. For those of you that heard the show before, he doesn't like to be referred to as a special guest, but I'm just going to keep calling him that, probably because it irritates him a little bit, and I like it when he gets fired up. And we're going to talk about some feedback from the field. I got to share this with you guys because I ran into some really funny stories sitting down with some different listeners. So anyway, stick with us. Got a great show planned coming up. And Happy New Year. As always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can call in for the booklet. You can call in to have a chat with me over the phone. You can call in for a portfolio review in person. Right? That's how we do it. And you'll talk to me. And we'll just show you how we do things. There's not a sales technique. We just... You know, we should have a listener on here sometime to talk about the process, right? Because it's not we're not twisting arms, we're not tricking anybody into it. We think our process speaks for itself. And it's a different approach, and it's focused on better security, better returns, lower fees. We've really set it up to be what's best for the client rather than what our philosophy is. So anyway, stick around. Great show planning up. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a wonderful holidays, and let's get to it with a great show this week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. We'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Hi, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. But if we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now and get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. Call now, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com, 866-779-RISK.
Bulwark Capital Management's an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. And want to get right into it. And if you're just joining us, did our market update first, as always. And want to get into the difference. I spent a lot of time. I love research. I know that sounds weird. But got a lot of time over the holidays, obviously. Shocking enough to many of you out there, shocked me. From December 15th to New Year's Day, not a lot of people want to sit around and talk about finance. And I find that shocking. No, not really. But I still want to talk about it and research. And we were at more than one family party. And I make sure to spend time with the kids. But I just love what I do. And like I've said before, if you can't be interested or excited about the world of finance right now, you're never going to be. Because it's like watching a soap opera. And I think people lose that, how crazy this is. Is it good? Yeah, we're making money. I'm not, again, remember, it's not all one way or the other. And we talk about that all the time. It's not one way or the other. Okay? That's the difference between the approach that we take and the approach that should be taken from a lot of people out there. And I had some exchanges with some colleagues of mine and some of the regular populace through Twitter. You can go to our Twitter account at KYR Radio. That's our Twitter handle. And we just try to put things on there that are economically interesting, have some good debate, banter back and forth. It's a great way to connect to people. We don't get into the whole trolling thing or whatever. Even though I've incited some real anger lately on there. But it brought up a really interesting thing to me because I put up this chart that was put out by a guy that I know through different contacts, but some exceptional data on how crazy high prices are in terms of stocks. And when we talk about crazy high prices, we're not pointing out the fact that, like, for instance, today, Boeing is trading at 307. The height in 2008, I want to say, was around 86. So that gives you an idea how crazy high this is. But it's not the price of the stock that bothers us. It's the price of the stock in relation to the profit that the company makes. Right? We're looking at an investment. It's a valuation. And this guy put out charts just based on data. It's irrefutable. It's just data. And I posted it and said, wow, this is scary. This is pretty crazy. Great data. Thank you very much. Thanks for doing the work. This is really cool. I think everybody should look at this. And the negative attacks just start coming on Twitter. Oh, you shouldn't just listen to other people and this market's going up and blah, blah, blah. And I stepped back and I went, whoa, wait a second. I didn't say markets are going to crash. What we're looking at here is hard data that's showing us how outside the normal realm we are in terms of prices of stocks in relation to how much profit they're making. And it's binary, right? It's either right or wrong. And the data was solid. I double checked it. And yet people were vehemently, oh, you're a bear. You're a perma bear. How much is your P&L? Which what they mean is how much is your portfolio made? He said, what is your P&L over the last year? How much is your portfolio made over the last year? Now, between you and I, when he asked that question, I kind of chuckled to myself because we've had a phenomenal year. Even better than I expected, especially in the last 6 months. But what he was saying that is, if you sit there and identify a problem, then you're a bear and you're not making any money. And that couldn't be further from the truth. We're adults. There's always a portion of our money that should be allocated to stocks. We're not going to time everything perfect. We're not Warren Buffett. Even Warren Buffett doesn't try to do that. But it shouldn't blind us to the reality that's staring us in the face is that, hey, if and when something goes wrong, this is going to be painful. And it's going to be painful. How do we know that? Because prices are so historically high. And eventually prices will revert to the mean. They'll go back to their average. If prices return to their long-term average over the last 100 years on the stock market, you're looking at a 60% decline. That's a fact. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm not going to say it's happening tomorrow. But what I am saying is at some point in the future, things will return to their average. And so we got to delineate. Are we listening to or are we being a prognosticator or are we being a manager? And then people go, well, prices are high. Like I've told you before, clients say, well, if prices are so high, why don't we just sell everything? And I said, well, because we got to look at why they're high. I mean, there's some real reasons. Remember, stocks, financial assets, all this stuff we're looking at is denominated in U.S. dollars. So there's two ways you make stocks go up. Either they make more and they become more profitable and they become more productive companies, and therefore people are willing to pay more for them, which is obviously the ideal setup. Or you lower the value of the currency that that stock is denominated in. So if the value of the dollar goes from 1-to-1 to a euro, right? You got a euro, you got a dollar, they're worth the same. And the value of that dollar drops to 50 cents of a euro. So the euro is still worth one, you know, and it takes $2 now to buy a euro. Anything that's priced in dollars, all things being held equally, is going to effectively go up in price. So if you drive the value of the dollar down, you subsequently drive the value of financial assets up. So even though we're not seeing inflation numbers that should scare you, we're watching inflation. And the reason we know it's inflation is because we've had the slowest 10 years of growth in the history of the country, and we've got stocks at all-time high and all-time high valuations. And I'm not saying that's a reason to sell stocks. On the contrary, I'm saying that's a reason that we can't try to time things, that we have to own them. Because what are the alternatives? Do we want to sit in bonds and make less than the inflation rate in terms of interest in an environment where we know interest rates are going to go up, therefore the value of our bonds drops? That's not a wise place to put money. So how much money should we invest in stocks? All depends on who you are. Depends on what your risk outlook is, which is why we have a risk management approach. What does that mean? We figure out the productivity or the gains that your portfolio needs to average to achieve your goals. And we try to sit there and think outside the box and go, hey, what is the safest way to get there? Right? Like I always said, you can't manufacture opportunity. When opportunity comes, we jump on it. But in the meantime, when we're in situations we are like now, where everything that's not bolted down to the floor, and even things that are bolted down to the floor, are going up in price, that's a time where we need to step back and keep our heads. Right? One of my greatest piece of literature, I've actually got it framed and in my office. My wife gave it to me for Christmas a couple years back, was the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. And one of the things he talks about is the whole thing is set up, if you do this, you'll be a man one day. And he's talking to his son. And one of the things he says, if you can keep your head about you when all others are losing theirs. And that always triggers me to see when you see a rush of anything to take a step back. It doesn't mean we run the other direction. But we take a step back and go, wait a second, everybody's focused on the upside. What is the downside? Let's be disciplined. Let's not try to time markets. It's impossible. But let's be disciplined in our approach. So again, for those of you listening to the show, what is the easiest thing we can do? The easiest and most sensible approach to this is find a bond alternative. Because if the stock market continues to go up, which it looks like it is, it will. Again, not making a call one way or the other. But interest rates have to go up, guys. And they are. They are. We've been talking about this for a year and a half. The rate on the 10-year U.S. Treasury when we first started talking about this was about 1.6, 1.7. Today, it's flirting with 2.5. It's happening. And I'm watching people get smoked already in bonds. And that's what we know. That's a danger we know. I was listening to another guy sitting there going, oh, the Dow go to 40,000. Is he right? Yeah, it could. But if it does, I can guarantee you interest rates won't be where they are right now. They're going to go higher. And if you're still using bonds to offset the risk in your portfolio or as a hedge to your portfolio, you're going to be grossly disappointed with your productivity of your portfolio, not to mention the cost. So it's really important we always keep in mind, don't be a prognosticator. Be a realist. Be a manager. Sit there and say, what are the risks I can take? What is the upside I'm hoping to achieve? And what are the risks I can't take? And then you manage from that position. Not trying to be right, not hoping not to be wrong, but sitting there saying, what can we do that ensures the result we want, regardless of what happens? Now our life isn't defined by circumstances. Now we've taken control. Now we're being proactive. Right? That's the approach that we should be taking. That's the approach that we have taken. And we'll get into a little bit more of this in the next segment where we talk about feedback from the field, because it ties in perfectly to this whole piece. And I'll just tell you, I'm going to walk you through what I've heard, and we'll do a compare and contrast of what we're doing as opposed to what everybody else is doing. Now, in the meantime, we've got to take a quick break. As always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Call us for the booklet. Call us for a phone review. You know, I can tell you I'm not a jerk to talk to on the phone. I enjoy it. We can do a review over the phone. We can even schedule an in-person consultation. We'll meet you at your house. Matter of fact, we do with most of our clients. They don't want to drive to the offices. That's fine. But it's a new year. Get your financial house in order. Pay attention to not only the opportunity, but also the risk. Consequently, don't just focus on the risk. Pay attention to the opportunity and build a portfolio that wins either way. So anyway, thanks for sticking with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. We'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Hi, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. But if we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now and get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. Call now, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. 866-779-RISK.
Bulwark Capital Management's an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. And if you just joined us, we were just talking in the last segment, and I'm going to hop right into it here. We're just talking in the last segment about the difference between being a manager and a prognosticator, right? A prognosticator is somebody that usually doesn't make their money off predicting markets. They make their money off of media interactions. They make their money off selling books. They make their money off selling newsletters. And they're purposely, I've known a lot of these guys. My grandfather used to write a newsletter and was a New York Times bestselling author. And now he was more of a manager type. But through him and his acquaintances, I know a lot of these guys. And they're saying what they think, but they're just saying it in more absolute terms because the more sure you sound to yourself, the more people you attract. And it's not very often somebody will look at you and go, you know, I don't know. But here's what we should do in lieu of why I don't know. And ironically, that turns a lot of people off. They go, I want to go to the guy that's certain. Well, what? What do we know? If a guy tells you he's certain of anything, I'd be highly suspect, right? Every money manager that's honest and worth their salt will sit there and tell you, look, we don't know what's going to happen, but here's what we think could, and this is why we're positioning this way. And if things don't unfold that way, when the facts change, so should our opinions. That's called a prudent approach to it, right? And so there's a difference between being a prognosticator or a manager. Now, here's one of the really interesting things is what we've seen is a whole new beast, a whole new breed of prognosticator. And what do I mean by that? It's the average advisor out there. And what makes their message, in my opinion, so toxic and so wrong and so filled of prognostication is because they're ignoring the results of their own investment advice, and they are telling clients to stick with the average approach. We're going to use stocks for growth and bonds for a hedge and all this kind of, and this is what's going to happen. Now, since I've been on the air, I've been telling you that's not what's happening. That approach doesn't work. They will not hit their average numbers. And the reason I was saying that was not a prediction, it's math. Everything we do at Bulwark is driven by math. If we can't quantitatively model it, if the numbers don't bear it out, we don't say it. And if you're out there in a portfolio that is the normal mix of stocks and bonds, you are getting had. And you're getting had because you've got markets at all-time highs. They're not going to stay there. Okay? Now, I'm not saying next week. I'm not saying 6 months from now. But things will return to average at some point. And that's on the stock side. And on the bond side, you got record low interest rates, guys. You're not going to average 5% in your bond portfolio. And we've talked about this ad nauseum, but the reason I feel like we got to go back over it is because so few people get it. And it doesn't matter what the result is. When you take the approach that we take, and this is why we're calling this segment Feedback from the Field, because I want you guys to hear it. It's a perfect anecdotal story of what we've been talking about. That most of these guys out there, even financial advisors, they pitch from a position of fear. They pitch and try to decredit everybody else's opinion, or discredit, excuse me, everybody else's opinion, and try to scare you into doing what they do. But if you pay attention, they'll ask you to put your brain to the side. They'll ask you to ignore results because, well, we don't manage based on results. We manage based on, well, if you don't manage based on results, then how are you charging people a fee, right? You can't charge people an investment fee unless you're helping them do something better with you than they could otherwise do on their own. And most of these guys out there aren't doing that. And this goes into an illustration of a gentleman I sat down with right before Christmas. Met him, and we're, again, not going to mention the competing firm. We don't talk about the competition. We focus on ourselves. And sat down. He's got a portfolio, good-sized portfolio. And at one of these other competing firms, a big firm, you all know their name, but again, I'm not going to denigrate them. I think they're a fine firm, and they do okay things. And over the last 4 or 5 years, the market has gone vertical. We all know that. But this guy's a cautious investor. So he doesn't, he had about 55% in bonds, maybe 40% in stocks, maybe 35, 40% in stocks, and a little bit in cash in that portfolio as well. And he had essentially, when you netted everything out over the past 4 years, he'd essentially made like 1% or 2%. And think about that. The market's gone parabolic, right? It's gone nuts. How do you make 4 or 5%, 2 or 1 or 2% over that period of time? Well, you do it because the stock portion side of your portfolio is doing great. But what's happened over the last 4 years, right? Bond valuations have stagnated or gone down slightly. Last year, they're kind of flat, up a little bit now. But you got 50% of your net worth tied up. He's paying a 1.5% expense ratio on his account. The bonds are producing 1.5% income, and they're losing a little bit of their value. So he's got 55% of his assets tied up in a vehicle that's making him nothing, where his advisor is making as much on it as he is. And why? Because the advisor goes, well, you got to have bonds. What's funny is I pull up articles from Time Magazine and Wall Street Journal and all that kind of stuff in the early 80s saying bonds are horrible. They're not even an investment. Why were they saying that? Because of rising interest rates. There's nothing magic about bonds, guys. There is when interest rates are falling. There is when you can buy a bond that's got great credit or backed by the United States government that you realize has got no fear of default and you can make 8, 9, 10% returns on it. That's a reason to invest in bonds. But today, no. So anyway, we were going through it and I said, look, here is an actual result portfolio that our clients have received that had over the last 2 years that had 40% stocks, exact same portion of stocks, but used what we advocated for, a replacement of the bond portfolio. And I've got no problem saying it. It's fixed indexed annuity. Oh, there's the ugly word, right? We always talk about our ugliest word in investing. And I said, here's the performance. And it wasn't even close. We blew the performance portfolio away. And I'm not ranking on this guy. Great, great guy. Actually talked to him today. He immediately jumped into all the negatives about annuities. And I just said, yeah, well, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. And I just said to him, I go, look, let's clear it all away. I go, you know, you're being skeptical about my approach, what I'd expect. But our clients aren't the ones with the bad results over the last 4 years. Right? You got to turn that skeptical eye to what they're telling you, because what we've been advocating has worked. So they can say whatever they want about it. But the proof's in the pudding, right? I can sit there and tell you great stories every day of every week. If at the end of the day you don't see the results, well, then we're not doing our job. The approach isn't correct. And so he looks at me and he goes, well, you know, I'm just, you know, I appreciate it. Very nice guy. And he was really honest. And he goes, well, you know, I had to talk to you though. And I had to see your take on it because everybody just said that. And I looked at him and I said, look, you don't have to have an indexed annuity. But you asked me, Zach, you know, my biggest thing is I don't want to take a lot of risk. I want to obviously maximize my returns, but I also want to lower my costs because I can see how my costs are eating me up. And when you've got 55% of your portfolio making 1% a year, a 1.5% management fee is going to kill your returns, right? And I said, I go, look, you don't have to do the, but you're asking me, what is the best way to accomplish this goal of low risk, low volatility, low cost? And I said, here it is. And if you don't want to do it, we got plenty of clients that don't use these products. And again, I'm going to say the word fixed indexed annuity. And he goes, well, I'm just a little bit skeptical because everybody's told me you're an annuity shop. Or no, excuse me. I said to him, I go, look, you don't have to do this. It's not like we're an annuity shop. And he goes, well, that's not what everybody else is saying. And I start laughing. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I've met with several other firms and they've told me, beware of the Bulwark guys. They're just an annuity shop. And I laughed and I looked at him and I said, you know what? Thank you very much. And he kind of looked at me weird. And I said, that's the greatest compliment you give me. And I said, first of all, you're never going to hear me talk about another firm when we're sitting there. I don't care what they're doing. I've worked at half of them. You know, I know what they're doing. I'm focused on what we're doing. I'm not going to badmouth them. I'm not going to berate them. But you're never going to hear me talk about it. But I said, obviously, they're worried about what we're doing. They're obviously focused about that. And he kind of, you know, kind of gave me a weird look and he laughed. And he goes, well, you know, when I heard them all saying bad things about you, that's one of the reasons I need to sit down with you. But they're saying he's just an annuity shop. That couldn't be further from the truth. And then that goes perfectly into, look, there are other firms out there using these products. Not many, but there are a couple. But this same gentleman we were talking about, he goes, I talked to these other, you know, this other firm, and, or maybe it wasn't him. Anyway, I digress, guys. I'm a little all over the place. Forgive me. But the point being, there are other firms out there advocating these products, slightly different twists on them, and I actually don't like the ones that they're using, but they've got a rule that nobody can say the word annuity. Because if we say the word annuity, everybody is so trained to run for the exits. We're not going to do that. I'm not here trying to trick people into buying things. I'm not here to perfectly package it. I want this to be a source of truth. I want this to be a source of, let's pull back the curtains and really explain things to you. Why do we use annuities? Because there is nothing else in the financial world that we've got access to that doesn't charge a management fee, that's been averaging somewhere between 6 to 8% a year. That's not a guarantee, but it doesn't charge a management fee. It's guaranteed against loss and we can make 6 to 8% a year. There's nothing else out there. I'd be a fool not to recommend that for my clients. Will that always be what we recommend as part of a portfolio, that safe portion of a portfolio? No, conditions will change. Hopefully someday we'll be back to bonds, but just not now. And when you see the performance differential, if you pull out the bonds, client looked at me and he goes, well, why isn't everybody doing this? And I said, you know what, man, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. It's a riskless, costless way to go about getting better performance. It just is. And this gets back into being a prognosticator or a manager. Are we selling a model? Are we selling our business model trying to convince everybody it's the best way to go? Or is our business model doing the best thing? Right. What's my business model? I'll tell you what we're doing now, but we're always keeping our ear to the door. What is that? Our ear to the ground, trying to make sure that there's nothing else out there that we haven't missed. We don't confine our recommendations to a style or to a sales pitch. We're changing, we're evolving, we're doing what's best for the client's long-term goals. So we, in this world, guys, make it a New Year's resolution. Don't listen or have your money managed by prognosticators. Have it managed by managers. Have a risk-managed approach, something that makes sense. And if they can't show you in the performance over the last 10 years, then don't look at it. Anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back. Stick with us. As always, call us 866-779-RISK for a consultation or a booklet. And give us a ring. Now, stick with us, though. We got a great segment, couple great segments coming up. We got Dory joining us in the studio for our first interview in the new year. And then we're going to finish up with our new segment that we're going to do every week called Investing Basics, where we take one aspect of the market or investing and break it down so it's not quite so high level and everybody can understand it. Maybe educate the kids, whatever. We want to make it simple so you guys can really absorb it and hopefully learn something. So stick with us. Got those great segments coming up. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. We'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Hi, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. But if we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now and get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. Call now, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. 866-779-RISK.
Bulwark Capital Management's an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for joining us, and we've been joined a little early by the guy I teased here, our special guest.
Did tease me.
I did.
It was fun.
I got to quit laughing so much when we do this. This guy cracked.
Serious stuff.
This is very serious stuff. For those of you that don't recognize the voice, and I'm sure there's not many of you.
Did you say the noise?
The noise.
Is that what you described me as? Noise?
That's the subconscious mind kicking in.
Okay.
This is Dory Monson joining us.
Hey.
Let's get to the most important part here.
Yes.
Do you have any Seahawks insight for us?
Yeah. Nobody's asked me that question the last couple of weeks.
We've got our Seahawks insider.
Yeah. No, it's weird for me because I've coached high school basketball for the last 10 years, which takes about 30 hours a week throughout January. Seahawks has always gone into either mid-January or three times now, early February. And I'm like, I'm on vacation now.
Yeah.
Without coaching and without Seahawks in January. It's crazy.
What do you do with all the time on your hands?
I just spend 90 hours a week on the radio show. That's all it is.
So, okay, let's get into it. I know you are, because we talk about this frequently, but this is a heck of a run to start off the new year, huh?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, as my listeners know, I'm one of the few people, I think, who tends to be fair and balanced with the president. When he does goofy stuff like the tweets, I will be among the first to goof on them and on him. But it is undeniable that lifting thousands and thousands of regulations on businesses in America and the promised tax cut and the, you know, 60, at last count, 60, 70 companies that have said, because of this windfall we're getting in the tax cut, we're going to give every employee, you know, Alaska Airlines, every employee $1,000.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks that's not going to have some trickle-down effect on boosting this economy. And so, yeah, I've shared my skepticism that I know that you've had about how high can it go, but I also see so many positives right now with the tax cut, with the decreased regulation, and obviously Wall Street is responding in record fashion.
Yeah, no, it is. The other interesting thing about it, too, that we're really watching, and I think a lot of people are taking their eyes off it because there is some positive developments going on in the economy, is that you've had an unprecedented amount of money created over the last 10 years, you know, through central banks and you know, we've talked about it on this show ad nauseum. But the one thing we haven't had is actual growth or a pickup in money velocity. And one of the things that we're looking at is, you know, growth looks very similar to inflation. And one of the things that you see an economy start to ramp up, especially when you have all this dry tinder in the form of capital that's been created over the last 10 years, it's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that capital ain't going to flow into U.S. Treasuries paying 2.3%. So where's it go? Well, the stock market's going to be the biggest recipient. And so a client was asking me the other day, you and I have had these conversations. They go, you know, how high can it go? And I said, well, you know, at a certain point, it the mechanics of the market take over. If there's more cash chasing less amount of stock, it's simply supply and demand.
Well, yeah. That's an undeniable fact. But, I mean, you know, it could go down tomorrow, too. We don't know. But here's what I do know. I tend to put a lot of stock in things that Warren Buffett says.
Yep.
And he just wrote in Time Magazine about how, and he was comparing the average American because right now GDP is $59,000 per capita in America.
Yep.
Which means that the average American has access to travel and to medical care and things that John Rockefeller 80, 90 years ago could not have dreamed of.
Right.
And so, you know, what was considered, you know, to be a life of the super wealthy, the average American in so many areas has that right now. And what Buffett said is, with, you know, the trend line we're on that our kids are probably going to have in the next several years, $79,000 of GDP per capita.
Right.
And as that happens, then, yeah, all of these things are unleashed. And the one thing I'm looking for, Zach, still is I think debt is the greatest danger our nation faces. And if they don't start paying down the $20 trillion, because that's only a fraction of it, because there's $40 trillion in unfunded mandates that are still dangling out there with the entitlement programs. But if they start paying down the debt, if we can balance our budget again, which we did back in the 90s when Clinton was president,
yep,
and the Republicans had Congress, if we could balance our budget, start paying down the $20 trillion, then I think we'd go into hyperdrive with everything.
It's hard to argue that's not the case. And this is one of the reasons why we have queued, and you and I have spent a lot of time talking about this, why we've said our valuation's a concern. Look, you got to be blind not to think that they're a concern. I don't care how much great news there is.
Absolutely.
They're at records. They've never been higher. Only two times before we've been close to this is 1929, 1999. Having said that, like we've talked about, there is, there are good, like you said, the American economy is dynamic. It's still that way. I read the same Buffett piece. I don't disagree with him, but the debt is a massive issue.
It is.
Because
when you figure, $59,000 in GDP per American, you also have to understand that our kids' share of that $20 trillion probably exceeds that. I mean, we're probably upside down when you factor in the $20 trillion in debt. And so, yeah, like you, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm also, relentlessly realistic.
Yeah.
And that is, things could go down and this could be a bubble that bursts soon. And that's why, the best approach is always the slow, steady, good strategies, stuff that you advocate.
Right. Well, and I think, like I said, I think everybody is sleeping on the one thing. What is the one thing we know for sure? The one thing we know for sure is that unless you want to light money on fire, get out of bonds. Right. Because as this, we're watching interest rates go up, we're watching it creep up. That does not mean you should take that bond money and stick into the stock market. But the one loser going forward, if this momentum keeps up, you're going to see yields pop. They have to. I think it's a compressed spring. Right. And we're watching it happen. People are sleeping on the fact that bonds are not a good hedge for their portfolio. I sit down with people all the time, and in years where the S&P's up 26% in a single year, they're up 8 because they're 50% in bonds, and their bonds were underwater on the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so no matter how great the stock market is, you got to have a portfolio that can benefit from it, not one that just stays stagnant or doesn't grow at all because of the thing that's keeping you secure, the bonds.
Yeah.
Are holding you down.
Yeah. Well, and if you're just sitting in cash, then you're not keeping pace. So, yeah, it's tricky. These are tricky times. That's the bottom line.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
It's been good times. That's for sure.
Well, hey, I appreciate you joining
us. Thank you, Zach.
Keep it up. Everybody needs to tune in to listen to Dory's show. He's been breaking a lot of great stories lately. That pit bull attack story was just wild.
Yeah, we've had some good stuff. We're cooking right now. Real good about it.
And you stay on top of those Seattle politicians for us, would you?
If they ever give me any fodder.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Dory. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. We'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Hi, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. But if we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now and get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. Call now, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. 866-779-RISK.
Bulwark Capital Management's an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. I want to get right into it. I think I always want to get right into it, right? There's not a lot of fanfare, not a lot of wasted words. But probably because I come in here with a million things to say, and it's frankly, it's tough to pare it down for a one-hour segment. But I want to start this off. We're going to start doing this every week. Came from a great friend and client of mine, David, and we were actually sitting on his boat, and he said, you know, you got a great idea for your show. I sat there and went, okay. I've heard that before, right? Everybody that's not on radio has always got a advice of what to talk about. But he said, you should do a segment on just investing basics. He goes, I love listening to your stuff. Even some of it, you know, I don't understand, but, you know, you feel like you helped me get a handle on it. But he said, it'd be great for people that don't know as much, or if I want to, you know, have the grandkids or the kids listen, teach them something about investing. And it'd be great if you just did an investment basics segment. I sat there and went, you know, that's a great idea. And we probably do. We probably get a little bit more high level. And the whole goal is to take these really complex things, because the market isn't driven by what it used to be driven by. Right? Just the company does well, stock price goes up. There's so many more influencing factors. And the goal of our show all the time is to break down those really complex things and give you guys insight to what is actually making a difference, what is really driving it. And so we want to start off with one of the most basic principles. What is a stock? Right? We see the news. We see the Dow Jones up 125. We look at our, you know, our portfolio. We see it's gone up a little bit. We know that we own stocks, but what is a stock? And I think the definition about what is a stock is really something that's missed sometimes. Because at some point, especially when you get these big, long, sustained rallies, we're, again, if you haven't heard the show before, we're in the midst of one of the biggest and longest of all time. And not to be a Debbie Downer, but the interesting thing about that is that whole stock surge growth over the last 9 years is coming off the slowest 10 years of growth that we've ever had in the history of the country, including the Great Depression. So it's kind of odd, to say the least. But nevertheless, we're benefiting from it. But I think in times like this, it's especially important to go back to the basics. What is a stock? A stock is not this arbitrary thing that goes way up sometimes and goes way down and all that kind of stuff. We need to separate the idea from what a stock is and what the price of the stock is. Okay? A stock is just a company. It's a company that you're buying a fractional share of in an open market. Now, it's really no different from if you want to invest in the construction company down the street. Or the analogy we've used on the show here many times is if you want to buy something simple like a mini mart on the corner, corner store, construction company, corner store, maybe a clothing store, whatever. Same idea. The only difference is that these companies tend to be bigger, and the pieces of ownership, the shares, if you will, of ownership of that company are trading on an open public market. All right. But the idea is exactly the same. Why do we buy a stock? Why do we buy a company? Because we believe that the cash flow generated from that company, from it running its everyday operations or day-to-day business, will exceed in a fairly reasonable amount of time the amount that we purchased the ownership for. Right? Go back to the mini mart analogy. Walk into a mini mart, got a for sale sign. How much do you want for it? Guy says $1 million. First question out of any reasonable person's mouth is, okay, what did you do in profit last year? And why are you asking that question? Because you're trying to get an idea of whether this is a good place to put your money. And if he tells you, we average about $30,000 of profit a year, but we want you to buy it for $1 million, probably not a good use of your money. Why? Because you can go buy things like a U.S. 30-year treasury that has zero risk to it, essentially, other than interest rate risk. But you're not worried about losing principal, assuming you hold it over the whole period of time. But the point is that we can go buy zero risk instruments that pay 3% or greater. So we probably don't want to take the investment gamble or all the potential issues that could come with owning a mini mart or a gas station or something like that. And that's how we assess valuation. Does the risk of this investment equal the price that I'm paying or and the gains that I'm making from it? Now, conversely, if that manager comes, that guy comes back and says, look, we've been averaging between $80,000 to $100,000 a year profit. Now we're talking, right? Because the amount of profit we're making per year or expect to make per year or that it has averaged over the last 5 years will in a pretty short period of time almost equal or come close to equaling the total investment we've put in. Right? We got to take all these things into consideration. So getting back to what is a stock, remember, a stock is just a fractional ownership of a company. Now, the biggest difference between just buying a mini mart like that and buying a stock is you can check the price of your stock every single day. And people buy stocks for other reasons. As a matter of fact, most people buy stocks for reasons other than what is the true return of this company. So when we start talking about stocks being expensive, we don't mean that the price they're charging is really high, although it is. But we're talking about the price to purchase that share of stock or that fractional ownership in that company doesn't make sense in relationship to the underlying company itself. Right? You look at companies like Boeing, and they've been doing well lately. But if you bought their stock right now and they kept their current average on track right now, you'd be looking at about a 1.5% to 3% return, depending on the price you bought it, per year in relation to the amount of profit. And the simple way to think about it is like this. If we have Boeing and we split Boeing into 100 shares, right? So all of its stock, there's 100 shares of stock out there. Then what we would do is we'd say, okay, here's the total amount of profit that Boeing owned. I'm going to buy a share of stock, take that profit, split it up 100 ways. I own one share, one of the 100 shares available. And that is basically that 1/100th of the profit that Boeing made is basically the profit that is attributed to my share of ownership. So if you bought Boeing right now, that would mean that share of ownership has been yielding you somewhere to from between 0% and maybe 2% a year. Is that a good bet? No. Does that mean the price of stock Boeing couldn't go up a lot higher? No, because there's a really interesting thing with stocks. Unlike the mini market, nobody in 2 or 3 years is going to come buy the mini market from you at $5 million, right? But somebody could offer you in the next 3 years, depending on what goes on in markets, 3 times the price that you paid for that Boeing stock. So one of the things we see in stocks, and it's apparent, you know, it's important to understand what a stock is, but it's also important to understand the fact that these things are priced daily on the markets, and prices of stock build in hope. They build in pessimism. They build in exuberance. And right now, stocks are building in a reality that I don't think is existent, that everything is going to the moon. Everything's great. It's a new American day. And that's why we get worried about it. So when you think about a stock, don't get carried away with the trend. Break it down and look at it and go, if this was a mini mart, would I buy it? And I'm telling you, from a guy that does it every single day, not many out there that we do that with. That being said, we still got it. We're not trying to time markets. We still have to keep up our stock ownership. But hopefully that gives some insight. And feel free to email if you've got other topics you'd like us to talk about, because I want to break this down and just make it more transparent so more people understand exactly what's going on. But anyway, give us a call. Got to run. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And we'll do a portfolio review, show you what we're doing different with our clients, show you how we can improve your long-term goals and your long-term setup, cost you less, less risk, do things our way, the risk-managed approach. And also, go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can sign up there for the podcast, so even if you miss the show, you get an automatic, you get emailed the episode, and that way you can catch up, and we're going to keep talking about these investment basics and do the market updates. Maybe this is kind of your way to check into what's going on in the markets and kind of hear an unbiased approach. But you can go, again, you can get that at knowyourriskradio.com. Call us, go to the website, and hopefully we can help you out. So thanks a lot for being with us today. Great show. Looking forward to talking to you again next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.